Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. And we're going to get started with music. Soul Child. Beautiful.
Don't you know that you're so beautiful? I wanna give all my love to you, girl. Nothing
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. That was music. Oh, child. That was beautiful. I wanted to remind you that you're absolutely beautiful, just the way you are in this right now moment. Let's get started by turning within and recognizing that there really is only one power and one presence. And on this line, we recognize this great spirit known by many, many names. But on this line, we recognize it as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. So in this right now moment, I want you to become very intentional about the breath. There's power in the breath. Sometimes we forget to breathe. And so in this right now moment, I want you to begin by tuning in to the powerful presence within. And I want you to take in a deep breath, breathing in through the nose. Hold it to the point of vibration. Hold it to the count of eight. Remembering to breathe deep into the diaphragm and deep into the heart. And so right now, collectively, I want us to breathe. Just breathe, family. Let's pray. Feel and know that I am God. Breathe. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe, family. And release. Let's breathe again. Sometimes we forget to breathe. Let's breathe. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe and release. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Still and know that I am God. Breathe, family. And last time, family, let's breathe. There is power in the breath, family. Let's breathe, family. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. And as we've been doing each and every morning, our prayer treatment with Reverend Ike, we just give thanks. Thank you, God. Thank you for this opportunity to come together in one mind and one spirit as we respect.
Let's get rid of all of the money hang-ups. I tell you how I want you to do this. I want you to get relaxed. Take about three good long breaths and stretch your feet out if you can. Now I want you to place your hands in an upward position on your lap. Just let them rest in an upward position. Somewhat slightly cupped. You see, like my cup runneth over.
Runneth over.
And just repeat this with me. Right here and right now.
Right here and right now.
I open my mind to all of the goodness of life.
I open my mind to all the goodness of life.
I deserve it all.
I deserve it.
God wants me to have all of the goodness of life.
God wants me to have all.
It is God's pleasure to give me all of the goodness of life.
God's pleasure to give me
all of the riches of life.
All the
health, happiness, love.
Health,
success,
and
prosperity, and money.
Success, prosperity,
I totally
and money.
Open my mind to the flow.
I totally open my mind
with no reservations. I opened my mind to money.
I opened my mind.
The being, doing, having power of the mind.
The
being, doing, having power of God in me.
The being, doing, having power of the God.
This is real money.
In me.
This is the money that becomes every form of money.
This is the money that becomes every form
that I need and want.
That I need, want.
And now we're going to go into a visualization for a moment, so I just want you to close your two outer eyes. Tilt your chin slightly upward. And look through the third eye, the eye of God in you. And repeat this visualization prayer treatment with me. I now enter into the theater of my mind.
I now enter into the theater of my mind.
And I see myself.
And I see myself.
I see myself as I wish to be.
I see myself as I wish to be.
I see myself as a healthy person.
I see myself as a healthy
person. I see myself as a happy person.
I see myself as a happy
person. I see myself as a loving person.
I see myself as a
loving person. I see myself as a beloved person.
I see myself as a beloved person.
I see myself as a successful, prosperous person.
I see myself as a successful, prosperous person.
I see and feel myself as a person who has a lot of money.
I see and feel myself as a person who has lots of money.
I see that I have all of the money that I need for every good cause.
I see that I have all the money I need for every good cause.
I see myself with stocks and bonds.
I see myself with stocks and bonds.
Certificates of deposit.
Certificates of deposit.
A big investment portfolio.
A big investment portfolio.
I see myself having money making money.
I see myself having
money making money. It feels wonderful.
It
feels good. I see and feel myself enjoying the goodness of money.
I see and feel myself enjoying the
thank you, God,
in
me.
Thank you, God,
for money
and
all of the goodness of life.
And all the goodness of life.
Open your eyes slowly. Come back. And in closing, I say health, happiness, love, success, and prosperity, and a whole lot of money go with you. Amen.
Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for this opportunity, God, to come together as one. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Day 10, a prayer of forgiveness. I forgive myself for judging my relationship with money. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every cell, every atom, every molecule, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, wealth, and abundance, bringing it into alignment with the perfect will of God. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every atom, every molecule, every cell, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, bringing it into alignment with the perfect peace of God. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every atom, every molecule, every cell, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, bringing it into perfect alignment with the perfect love of God. For this I am so grateful, and so it is. Today, I forgive myself for judging my relationship with money.
Amen. And so it is, and so it is. Good morning, family. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, God. Good morning to the Father Sky, the sun, the moon, the stars, the clouds. Good morning to Mother Earth and Mother Nature, the birds, the bees, the flowers, the trees, the land, the soil, the animal kingdom, and the plant kingdom. Good morning to the earth and the wind, the fire, the water, and the ethers. Good morning, universe. Good morning to our most beneficent angelic family as we invite the angels into this call. Good morning, angels, our archangels. Good morning, archangels, ascended masters. Good morning, ascended masters, our master guides and spirit guides. Good morning. And as we invite the unseen forces into this call, come. And as we stop each Monday through Friday to honor the divine presence of our ancestors, paying homage to those who walked the planet before, calling forth the energy of our ancestors, inviting and invoking the presence of our known and unknown ancestors into this call, into our life this morning as we pour libation into the earth. Good morning, Miss Anastasia McAdoo. Speak the names of your loved ones this morning. Speak their names. Good morning, Mama Colette Grant. Speak their names. And as we pour libations into the earth, Hashe to the ones that we recognize and know their names, but those unknown ancestors, we just invite your presence into this call right now, into our life, thanking you for the legacy called us, thanking you for the work that you've done on the planet as we stand on your shoulders this morning. Good morning, ancestors. Good morning, as we honor you, thank you, and pay homage. And as we send love into our descendants this morning, thanking the path, creating a space that will be filled with ease, elegance, favor over our descendants, thanking you for those who will come behind us this morning. And as we honor the divine presence of ourselves this morning, as we simply stop and just become one with ourselves, honoring this body temple, giving thanks for the presence called you, called me. I thank you, God, for creating this beautiful, magnificent presence called Janine, and whatever your name is. Speak your name and give thanks for your presence this morning. Give thanks for the opportunity to be the walking embodiment of the presence of God on the planet. Come on, God, do your stuff. Thank you for embodying me, sending me to the planet to be fruitful and abundant and to live a life of ease on the planet. We give thanks, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Good morning, my brothers and sisters, my kings and queens, my gods and goddesses, my millionaires and billionaires. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, and I am Janine Ann Ingram, bringing you this love experience this morning, and super excited about how God is doing a great thing in our life. Yes, we are operating and moving through our money challenge this morning, giving gratitude for the opportunity to build a phenomenal, amazing relationship to our money. And I'm just grateful this morning. Just so grateful. I just want you to honor the idea that you are already more than enough. You see, I want you to honor the idea that you were already more than enough. So that when you recognize that you are already more than enough, you invite more than enough into your space. More than enough love, more than enough money, more than enough abundant wealth. When you recognize that you are already more than enough. And so as we move through our money love challenge today, I just want you to remember you are more than enough. This is our affirmation song. I'm going to play it, and then we're going to get started for today's conversation.
which means I believe in Jesus. See, just put him first. It's not letting you shine, and everything else is gonna come in due time. See, I never seen a righteous forsaken or faithful forgot. A good shepherd gonna take care of his flock. So if your father made you and you say you believe, then you know that he gonna take care of your needs. I say that God is the source of my unlimited supply. Everything and everybody prospers me now. You say that God is the source of my unlimited supply. Everything and everybody prospers me now. I say that God is the source of my unlimited supply. Everything and everybody prospers me now. You say that God is the source of my unlimited supply. Everything and everybody prospers me now.
Started this morning. Good morning, family. You tuned in to the Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram, and you are more than enough. You are already all that you need. Sometimes I think about that story in the Bible where the lady didn't think she had enough to feed her family. And when the prophet stopped by and asked, what did she have in her cupboard? Already. Sometimes we forget to check in and see what we already have because we get so focused in what we don't have. Today I want to remind you, just from knowing who's and what you are already more than enough. And what's interesting, I want to play this clip. It's about maybe 5-10 minutes long, about a young man. It's a TED Talk, and he was in prison, and he learned financial literacy and learned the stocks and couldn't even read and write. And I want you to hear this story because sometimes we forget that we are already all we need. And we're going to talk about being more than enough today.
I was 14 years old inside of a bowling alley, burglarizing an arcade game. And upon exiting the building, a security guard grabbed my arm, so I ran. I ran down the street, and I jumped on top of a fence. And when I got to the top, the weight of 3,000 quarters in my book bag pulled me back down to the ground. So when I came to, the security guard was standing over top of me, and he said, "Next time, you little punk, steal something you can carry." I was taken to juvenile hall. And when I was released into the custody of my mother, the first words my uncle said was, "How'd you get caught?" I said, "Man, the book bag was too heavy." He said, "Man, you weren't supposed to take all the quarters." I said, "Man, they were small. What am I supposed to do?" And 10 minutes later, he took me to burglarize another arcade game. We needed gas money to get home. That was my life. I grew up in Oakland, California, with my mother and members of my immediate family addicted to crack cocaine. My environment consisted of living with family, friends, and homeless shelters. Oftentimes, dinner was served in bread lines and soup kitchens. The big homie told me this: money rules the world and everything in it. And in these streets, money is king. And if you follow the money, it'll lead you to the bad guy or the good guy. Soon after, I committed my first crime. And it was the first time that I was told that I had potential and felt like somebody believed in me. Nobody ever told me that I could be a lawyer, doctor, or engineer. I mean, how was I supposed to do that? I couldn't read, write, or spell. I was illiterate. So I always thought crime was my way to go. And then one day, I was talking to somebody, and he was telling me about this robbery that we can do. And we did it. The reality was that I was growing up in the strongest financial nation in the world, the United States of America, while I watched my mother stand in line at a blood bank to sell her blood for $40 just to try to feed her kids. She still has the needle marks on her arms to this day to show for that. So I never cared about my community. They didn't care about my life. Everybody there was doing what they was doing to take what they wanted. the drug dealers, the robbers, the blood bank. Everybody was taking blood money. So I got mine by any means necessary. I got mine. Financial literacy really did rule the world. And I was a child slave to it, following the bad guy. At 17 years old, I was arrested for robbery murder. And I soon learned that finances in prison rule more than they did on the streets, so I wanted in. One day, I rushed to grab the sports page of the newspaper so my cellie can read it to me. And I accidentally picked up the business section. And this old man said, "Hey, youngster, you pick stocks?" And I said, "What's that?" He said, "That's the place where white folks keep all their money." And it was the first time that I had saw a glimpse of hope, a future. He gave me this brief description of what stocks were, but it was just a glimpse. I mean, how was I supposed to do it? I couldn't read, write, or spell. The skills that I had developed to hide my illiteracy no longer worked in this environment. I was trapped in a cage, prey among predators, fighting for freedom I never had. I was lost, tired, and I was out of options. So at 20 years old, I did the hardest thing I'd ever done in my life. I picked up a book. And it was the most agonizing time of my life. Trying to learn how to read, the ostracizing from my family, the homies. It was rough, man. It was a struggle. But little did I know, I was receiving the greatest gifts I'd ever dreamed of. Self-worth, knowledge, discipline. I was so excited to be reading that I read everything I could get my hands on. Candy wrappers, clothing logos, street signs, everything. I was just reading stuff. Just reading stuff. I was so excited to know how to read and know how to spell. The homie came up and said, "Man, what you eating?" I said, "C-A-N-D-Y, candy." He said, "Let me get some." I said, "N-O, no." It was awesome. I mean, I can actually now, for the first time in my life, read. The feeling that I got from it was amazing. And then at 22, feeling myself, feeling confident, I remember what the OG told me. So I picked up the business section of the newspaper. I wanted to find these rich white folks. So I looked for that glimpse. As I furthered my career and teaching others how to financially manage money and invest, I soon learned that I had to take responsibility for my own actions. True, I grew up in a very complex environment, but I chose to commit crimes, and I had to own up to that. I had to take responsibility for that, and I did. I was building a curriculum that could teach incarcerated men how to manage money through prison employment. Properly managing our lifestyle will provide transferable tools that we can use to manage money when we re-enter society, like the majority of people did who didn't commit crimes. Then I discovered that according to MarketWatch, over 60% of the American population has under $1,000 in savings. Sports Illustrated said that over 60% of NBA players and NFL players go broke. 40% of marital problems derive from financial issues. What the hell? You mean to tell me that people work their whole lives buying cars, clothes, homes, and material stuff where we're living check to check? How in the world were members of society going to help incarcerated individuals back into society if they couldn't manage their own stuff? We screwed. I needed a better plan. This is not going to work out too well. So I thought, I now had an obligation to meet those on the path and help. And it was crazy because I now cared about my community. Wow, imagine that. I cared about my community. Financial illiteracy is a disease that has crippled minorities in the lower class in our society for generations and generations. And we should be furious about that. Ask yourself this. How can 50% of the American population be financially illiterate in a nation driven by financial prosperity? Our access to justice, our social status, living conditions, transportation, and food are all dependent on money that most people can't manage. It's crazy. It's an epidemic and a bigger danger to public safety than any other issue. According to the California Department of Corrections, over 70% of those incarcerated have committed or have been charged with money-related crimes, robberies, burglaries, fraud, larceny, extortion. And the list goes on. Check this out. A typical incarcerated person would enter the California prison system with no financial education, earn 30 cents an hour, over $800 a year, with no real expenses, and save no money. Upon his parole, he will be given $200 gate money and told, hey, good luck, stay out of trouble, don't come back to prison. With no meaningful preparation or long-term financial plan, what does he do? At 60, get a good job or go back to the very criminal behavior that led him to prison in the first place. You taxpayers, you choose. Well, his education already chose for him, probably. So how do we cure this disease? I co-founded a program that we call Financial Empowerment Emotional Literacy. We call it FEEL. And it teaches how do you separate your emotional decisions from your financial decisions. And the four timeless rules to personal finance. The proper way to save. Control your cost of living. Borrow money effectively. And diversify your finances by allowing your money to work for you instead of you working for it. Incarcerated people need these life skills before we re-enter society. You can't have full rehabilitation without these life skills. This idea that only professionals can invest and manage money is absolutely ridiculous. And whoever told you that is lying. A professional is a person who knows his craft better than most. And nobody knows how much money you need, have, or want better than you, which means you are the professional. Financial literacy is not a skill, ladies and gentlemen. It's a lifestyle. Financial stability is a byproduct of a proper lifestyle. A financially sound incarcerated person can become a taxpayer citizen. And a financially sound taxpayer citizen can remain one. This allows us to create a bridge between those people who we influence, family, friends, and those young people who still believe that crime and money are related. So let's lose the fear and anxiety for all the big financial words and all that other nonsense that you've been out there hearing. And let's get to the heart of what's been crippling our society from taking care of your responsibility to be better life managers. And let's provide a simple and easily to use curriculum that gets to the heart of what financial empowerment and emotional literacy really is. Now, if you're sitting out here in the audience and you say, oh, yeah, well, that ain't me and I don't buy it, then come take my class so I can show you how much money it costs you every time you get emotional.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Wow. Good morning, good morning, good morning. You've tuned in to The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine Ann Ingram. And I wanted to play that clip because I thought it was interesting to hear this young man who grew up in an environment where he learns to rob, steal, to get his money and do what he does, to go to prison, does not know how to read or write, and learn how to read and write and create a financial curriculum for the prison inmates, because he says that the reason why people go back into prison is because they have no financial plan. Now, metaphorically, are we going back into prison in our minds because we don't have a financial plan? And a lot of times we don't create financial plans because most of the time, we don't feel good enough. We don't feel good enough. Oftentimes, we don't feel good enough to take care of the things that is important, and that's ourselves, our finances, our health, the things that are important to our lives to create the most amazing life on the planet. So I want to talk about what can we do when we don't feel good enough. And I want to remind you today that you're already enough. But the feeling of not being enough is so rampant in our community. And you didn't get to hear this on his TED Talk, but I've been following him. And I listened to an interview on the radio with him yesterday. And when he was going around learning about stocks and reading and learning how to read, he started asking the prison security guard and people who work there about their 401k plans and stocks, and people were starting to, and he was starting to teach other people how to invest, and he was starting to make money in prison with just $2 and $3 and penny stock. And because of the buzz that he got noticed, and it got up to the warden. And the warden called him up to his office, and when he went up to the office, his pants was hanging below his butt, you know that process, and he smelled like weed. And the warden then was livid. When he said, "Do you see this yellow strip, young man?" He said, "Yes." "When you cross that strip, you respect me, and you came in here very disrespectful. I want you to go back to your cell right now." He said, "I want you to come back here tomorrow at 3 o'clock, and you better have your pants up, and you better not smell like weed tomorrow. Do you understand me? And if you don't come here at 3 o'clock, you will remain in solitary confinement for the rest of your stay here at San Quentin." And he was like, whoa. So he goes back to his cell, and he tells his cellmate, "We got to get rid of all this stuff." You know, and I'm thinking, wow, how are they getting weed in prison? But that's a whole other story for another day. But listening to him speak about that experience, and when he went back the next day, he was dressed properly. Of course, he didn't smell like weed. And the warden wanted him to teach financial literacy to the other cellmates. And he said, I can't do that. I can't do that. He told him, "Oh, you don't have a choice." And the first thing that he said in the interview is because he didn't feel good enough. Because he hadn't seen his own amazing experience, because to come to prison, cannot read, cannot write, and to go from can't read to can't write to being able to teach financial literacy is just amazing within its own self. So why is it this feeling of not being enough is so rampant in our community? Yeah, I use this young man and tell his story, but so many of us are in prison of our own minds because we don't feel good enough. Sometimes not being good enough, having that feeling of not being enough can stop us dead in our tracks. Sometimes we're thinking, who am I to start this business? Can I really be a good parent? Do I really deserve to get paid abundantly? Am I special enough to have a unique person? Who am I to be great? And on and on and on and on. Do these questions do not produce quality answers? When you are tapped into your confidence, when you know with certainty that you can and will thrive in your life's unique purpose, when you believe in your heart of hearts that the life you desire is possible, that's when you are unstoppable. But the problem is clear. Not feeling enough is a hard feeling to overcome, especially if you've been stuck in the feeling that way for a long, long time. I remember when I was going on the Steve Harvey Show, and I woke up, I was super excited when I was invited to Steve Harvey Show. I was super excited. But I remember the day I woke up, Mama Colette called me. She said, "I want you to go get your hair done over at Sinet's place. I'll call Sinet. She's going to open up the salon." Nikki called and said, "I got Landis to do your makeup, and I'm going to pay for it." Now, Landis does the makeup for the stars and different magazines. He's an amazing makeup artist. And all of a sudden, I started to cry. because my head conversation was getting so powerful and strong in my mind. Who are you to go on the Steve Harvey show? You're not pretty enough. You're just not this enough. You're not, oh, my God, you know, just so many things were going through my head, and it was becoming overpowering. I couldn't make it stop. I went to Sinette's shop to get my hair done. There was no one in the shop but her and I. She had her iPod on, and the whole time she was doing my hair, I was still crying. I was profusely crying. Couldn't stop. Erykah Badu song came on. I'm in the orange room, reflecting the light of the sun. And all of a sudden, the words, he looked at me and he saw his reflection in me. And at the same time those words were being said, God began to speak in my ear. I began to hear God say, why are you crying? And God says, do you know when I see you, I only see myself? Started crying more and more and more. And all of a sudden, Donald Lawrence song came on. And he says, I know you woke up this morning feeling not good enough. And I know you woke up and said this and that and all the stuff it was saying I had said to myself. He said, but I want to let you know there's a king in you today. And then I started to cry more profusely. And I just cried and cried and cried. And then I called Landis and he said, girl, come on over here and let me beat that beautiful face. And when he called me beautiful, I cried even more. I hadn't thought about it until I was thinking about today. Why was that feeling so strong? And I remember being in my foster care, and I remember being told I wasn't going to never be anything. I wasn't pretty enough. I was ugly, and I was all kind of stuff. And those words rang like a platinum song in my mind. Well, I wasn't beautiful. I'm not going to ever be really anything. And I didn't have no gifts and talents to really share with the world. That's what I thought. When I was in high school, God didn't give me no gifts and God didn't give me no talents. All my friends knew what they wanted to be, but I didn't know what I wanted to be. And I was just kind of straggling through life. Even in high school, I felt that way. I remember plenty of days finding reasons. I would wake up and just cry. I didn't even understand why I was crying. Sometimes I would just start crying in school and people would be like, what's wrong? I don't know. Didn't really know. But it was those platinum songs that was being told in my mind over and over again, and sometimes unconsciously. And sometimes that not feeling enough is a hard feeling to overcome, especially when you've been stuck feeling that way for a long time. But I'm here to tell you, we can break free from that feeling. We can let go of that feeling. Now, it may not be as easy as we would want it to be. But I want you to know, just by the mere idea that you are one with the one, you might think, oh, I can never do that. I can't be this. I'm not this, or I'm not that, or I'm not enough, or whatever it is that you are not enough of. Because sometimes we think of ourselves outside of the idea of the power that is great, a lot like the raindrop. Sometimes we think of ourselves as that raindrop, and we dream of being that massive wave and thinking that a raindrop all by itself can't be a massive wave. But when it connects to the power greater, that greater source that is in us, the ocean, it can fulfill a dream of being a wave, just like us. Maybe sometimes we feel disconnected from that greater power that lives in us. Sometimes in isolation, we feel that we are not enough. But when we choose in every moment to surrender and connect to the presence that is us, as us, all around us, knowing that I can do all things in Christ that is me, knowing that I can do all things that is God as me, knowing that I am all that God is. And in that very moment, I can be reminded that I am more than enough. You see, those words the Spirit said to me, why are you crying? When I see you, I only see myself. You are my reflection. Literally, those words were going in my head. At the same time that doing my hair, said, I don't even know why these songs was coming on like that, but I knew it was the Holy Spirit speaking to me. I'm in the room, reflecting the life of my son, my S-U-N son. And when God looked at me, God only saw God's self. God said, you are the same as I, my darling. Why are you crying? You see, when we feel, think, or have any thoughts of not good enough, what are we doing? We're crying. We're feeling separate, disconnected from the very source that says, I am more than enough. And so in every moment, time, every second, a thought that reminds you other than your truth, you connect back by surrendering to the L-O-V-E, divine presence, knowing absolutely that you are more than enough. Be it a higher power, higher calling, or higher purpose, when you connect to a purpose greater than you, you align yourself with a bigger, larger, vast energy. When you join in into that larger energy, you realize that you are already more than enough. So when you're feeling not enough from this moment forward, choose to see that as an opportunity to connect back to the source. And you will see that that not enough feeling will eventually dissipate. Because with God, all things are possible. And I want to remind you today that you are all that God is. God is all that you are. With purpose, all things are possible. With love, all things are possible. Tap into that greater power today. And when you do, you will feel more than enough. Remember to get out there and take action and make it real. You see, I'm one of your biggest fans. But nothing outside yourself can be a bigger fan than you for you. I want to remind you today, simply by saying to you, you are more than enough. You are all that God is. And on this Friday, March 16th, I want to remind you that nothing can stop you if you just believe. And that's my message for today. As we connect to our money journey, as we connect to who we are, and as we grow and grow and grow, I just say to you, this is your time, and it's your time to shine. It's your time to shine. So we're going to invite Khadija Ali in to tell us our money challenge for today. And if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, press Blog Talk 1, and after Khadija comes in, I will open up our line to bring you in for your question, your comment, or your concern, or Star 6 after Khadija comes in, and we can talk about it, whatever you want to talk about. But there's nothing more important than remember you are more than enough. And there's no greater feeling than knowing that the Spirit that created all of us, when we align ourselves and open ourselves to hearing Spirit, it will remind you It may come through a song. You may hear it. You may feel it. It may come through a book. It may come through someone else. But God is so amazing. I'm profusely crying, and God speaks to my heart and says, "Speak to my heart, God," and told me, "Janine, why are you crying? Why are you crying? I only see you when I see me. I only see me when I see you. And you are already more than enough." Khadija Ali, good morning.
Good morning, Lady Love. That brother was on point. He was on the money, and I enjoyed his talk, and I'm going to have to go look that TED Talk up. Thank you so much. Family, today is day 10 of our Money Love Challenge, and if you recall, yesterday on day 9, you have in your bank account and appreciate the abundance that you already have. So I hope that you were able to do that and tap into how that made you feel, to look at, even if it's $5, whether it's $5, $500, $5,000, be thankful for it and appreciate it. And be thankful for what's to come, because there is plenty more where that comes from. I shared a fact that every day, I think it's something like $3 trillion circulates on the planet every single day. Every single day. So think about that. Today is day 10, and it is right in alignment with everything shared this morning, and that is that you are enough. Mm-hmm. So today, for day 10, you are to list 3 ways that you are enough.
For real?
Write it in your... Yes. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
You didn't know that. Oh, my goodness.
No. I'm telling you, God is good. That's it. That's it. Yep.
Oh, wow.
Day 10, you are enough. So list 3 ways that you are enough. Write it in your journal. But I encourage you, please share it on the Love Journey page. Those 3 ways that you are enough. Write it in your journal, but share it with us. I'm going to share mine on the Love Journey page today, later on. And family, we are enough. You're enough. I'm enough. Janine's enough. Let's be reminded of that today. So with that, I'm complete. You want to open up the lines?
If anybody want to speak, yep, if anybody wants to speak or add anything to the conversation, they're more than welcome to come in this morning. You are more than enough. We are speaking about you are more than enough. All right, well, no one's on the Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm dead. You know something I just remember something funny. You remember when I first came on the front line?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
But wait a minute, Janine. No. Do you remember when I first met you, how I looked at you?
Yes, I do.
Because all the time that I had been on the prayer line and I had been listening to your voice, I hadn't seen your face. And in my mind, you was dark. And when I seen you and you was light, it just threw me totally off.
Everybody said that, though. Everybody said that same thing.
You know, it is so strange, you know, how we get things in our mind, you know. But your sermon today was off the chain as usual, and it's a struggle, you know, to start learning that you are enough, you know, but I thank you for not letting us forget. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you so much.
Yes, keep on working on it, lady. You can do it. If I can do it, you can do it.
Yes, yes. All right. It was funny when you came on the Love Journey that first time, the prayer line, and baby, everybody was like, who is this lady? Because they couldn't understand who she was. Mm-mm. All right. Anybody else got any questions, comments, or concerns? You are welcome to come in. Good morning.
Good God morning. I am Rosa J, the doctor of wealth.
Good morning, wealth doc. All the way from your mind to your wealth, right? Your mind to your money, right?
Yes, and it is. And you know what? Surprisingly enough, some of us don't realize this, but that is actually what breaks or makes your wealth. The fact that you, like that brother was, who would have thought that he would come from prison, stealing all his life, to teach people about wealth? It is so easy, but you have to do your research. You got to do your training. God qualifies. It doesn't matter where you come from. All those thieves, murderers, and, you know, that were in the Bible are just us. And God had to train them, to qualify them to do the work of God. See, when you start talking about your money and you start talking about your wealth, that's where it starts. But your subconscious mind wants to tell you, oh, all that crazy stuff, all those things that your family has told you, your mama, your doctor, who told you you'll never be anything. I remember I went to Catholic school, and I used to wonder why this lady used to bug me all the time. She was the mother superior. And I remember her telling me that you're never going to be anything.
What's wrong with your eye?
There's something on it.
Let me see.
Somebody's
you got your hand on something.
Oh, there.
Is that Janine?
Look,
no, that's not me.
In your conversation. So anyway,
that's not me, girl.
You know,
who I'm gonna be talking to that can talk back to me like that, Rosa? I don't have no little children in my house that can speak.
Oh, that's
back
right.
To
you
me.
Don't. That's true. That's true. Mute them. You know how to control that. So anyway, but you know. About 20 years later, I sat in this woman's presence, and I told her the things that I had done, you know, and she said, wow, I would never believe that. See, I was one of those people who couldn't read. In elementary school, my mama sent me to Catholic school, and I didn't learn the basics of reading. I never learned that. I had to teach myself how to read, even though I was in the sixth and seventh grade. You know, when you want to do something and it becomes a passion to do something that you may have heard somebody else do, and say, you say to yourself, I can do that. I can do that. So you can do anything you desire, anything. God will allow you, but you have to say yes to it. You have to say, yes, I'm more than enough. I can do this. If you don't start with nothing else, this is what you say. I can do this. Why? Let me say, because God qualifies you. He makes your reality manifest in the world, but you have to believe and do the action, and a lot of us don't do the work. And I'm thanking the Love Journey, and I was thinking the people and communities that assist us just by saying yes. Just by saying yes.
Okay.
How many of you have seen things and people have directed you and you still haven't done the first action by making that phone call, by checking out whether you need to go to school and what kind of programs they have. It is all kinds of stuff out there to promote you. But first you have to take the first action to say, yeah, I can do this. If you don't start with nothing else when you come to a problem, that's the first thing you should say. I can do this and nothing can stop it. Nothing. Being more than enough. I'm enough for my family. I'm enough for this relationship. I'm enough for myself. You know, I was thinking that the other day. Your subconscious mind will keep you from getting the blessings that God has for you. Maybe next week I'll tell you the story about that, but I'm going to leave that alone. Somebody else needs to come in and express what they have to share. So I thank you for allowing me.
Thank you, Rosa J. Thank you so much. All right, Lynette, you on? I don't know if you can still speak. I know you have to work.
Oh, Lynette, I'm so sorry.
Good morning.
Oh, you see my phone?
Yeah, you had pressed one.
Oh, hello?
Good morning.
I wanted to apologize. I have the grandkids getting them ready for school this morning. But I really, really, truly enjoyed this morning session. And I'm thankful for the tools that you present to us to let us know that we're more than enough. Because some days I don't feel like I'm enough. And I'm grateful that you did say that, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes you've been stuck in that not enough place for so long that you really have to trudge through and really look in the mirror and really do the mirror work. I have been enjoying March, looking at my money. And then the other thing that really touched me is that a lot of times you touched on the story in the Bible where the lady has so much stuff and she had what she needed and wasn't looking at what was available for her to use, just looking at the problem and looking at what I don't have. And sometimes we have to take the focus off of what we don't have and use what we have. I love this love journey. I love you guys, and I thank you. Rosa J, Khadijah, I thank all of you all for sharing tools to help me learn that Lynette is enough.
Yes, yes, Lynette, you are more than enough as you are, girl. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You complete?
I'm complete. Thank you.
All right. All right. Anybody else? You just press 1 on Blog Talk Radio, and if not, star 6 on the conference line. All right. Wow. Thank you for tuning in today to the Love Journey. Let me go over to the blog talk just to chat. All right, family. Good morning, Carla. Good morning, Carla. Carla LeBeau Hawkins. All right, she may be at work. All right, family, we're going to get ready and get out of here, but I want to remind you again that you are more than enough and that your life is a gift from God. And you're already beautiful. You're already amazing. There's nothing you have to do. And I just want to thank God. Now, I don't know what the exercises are going to be. Khadijah Ali comes and surprises every morning with it because I don't have the book that she's reading from. And so I didn't know that today's conversation was going to also be aligned with you are already more than enough. But I think it's so important to realize that you are already more than enough because it's so directly related to how we treat ourselves and our money. I love what Rosa said yesterday to remind us over and over again that we have to put ourselves first in our money energy. You have to teach your money energy that you are important. So today I want you to don't forget to add your 3 things. And if you want to add more than 3 things on why you're more than enough, do that. But if you don't do any other exercise and haven't done any other exercise, I think it's important to remember that you are already more than enough. You already have what you need to become whatever it is that you want to become or wherever you want to go or whatever it is that you want to do, you already have it. And so as you move through this exercise this weekend, really sit with yourself and remind yourself, connect to the greater purpose of you and know that you already have all that you need. reminding you that your life is a gift from God. And what you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember to choose love. Love is a choice. And remember, family, don't just dream, but live your God-sized dream. Dreams will always prevail when we breathe life into them.
There's nothing stronger or more powerful than a dream. Even in darkness, dreams have an infinite capacity to see light. They outlive pain. They outlast heartbreak. They overcome doubt. They forget imperfection. They cannot be beaten, broken, or taken. Dreams fight. They persevere. They go on. Because determination will always trump disappointment. Desire will always triumph over defeat. And dreams will always prevail.
You've been tuned in to the Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram, and that was Harry Belafonte, and this is Jill Scott, Dreaming. Have a great weekend, family. Sing up.